Blog Talk Radio.
To the people and the Gentiles, Tommy Hart, the one the authorized version ascribes the name Lord God is Real, appears among us with great news. A former preacher of the church and author of the Book of the Law of God, All Things, the Demonstrated Power of God. Lord God would like to share what he has discovered during what is now a 39-year study of the Authorized Version Bible, also known as the King James Bible, coming from the Vatican. He comes to show Bible truths that have been hidden throughout Bible content. Lord God is Real decrypts all things kept silent and in secret inside the pages of the AVB, aka the KJV, all with a level-headed, easy-to-follow analysis unlike any other. His Excellency logically restructures the AVB's confusing text and separates the subject matter into two categories, truth and fiction. He also defines with clarity what is meant by the terms Lord, in all caps, Christ, God, many other titles, and who claims them now in this day. His Majesty concludes, the Authorized Version Bible, written in the year 1611, is primarily a law book, a history book, a legal document, and the first law between the Pope of Rome, the papacy, and the Gentiles. In other words, those who are classified as white people. Knowing the AVB, written during the conquest of Africa, Lord God exposes the many laws of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelations, which include the law of Passover, the law of God, and the law of the curse carried out on African black people worldwide. It is established the Vatican is a governmental body institution hiding in plain view under the cloak of religion. Lord God is here because the Vatican called for him in the pages of the AVB. So without further ado, it is with great enthusiasm I bring before you the host of the show. Please join me in a warm round of applause, the magnificent Lord God Israel.
The reading of the Word of God. The Gentiles call for God. Acts 17:23, Psalm 119:145, Isaiah 63:19, Judges 9:10, Job 37:6, 1 Kings 2:2, John 1:22, Judges 13:17, John 1:38, Jonah 1:8, Isaiah 3:6, Judges 9:12, 1 Samuel 1:23, Romans 12:17, Ecclesiastes 1:13. Titus 1:5, Luke 1:1, Exodus 4:17, 1 Samuel 9:6, Psalm 83:1, Matthew 6:13, Jeremiah 8:10, 1 Peter 2:15, Psalm 90:17 and 16, 1 Samuel 23:27, Judges 9:14. To the unknown God, hear us, O Lord. We are thine. Come thou and reign over us, the Gentiles. Be thou on the earth. Show thyself a man. Who art thou? What is thy name? Where dwellest thou? Of what people art thou? Be thou our, the Gentiles, ruler. Come thou and reign over us, the Gentiles. Do what seemeth good to thee. Provide honest things in the sight of all men. Seek and search out all things. Set in order the things that are wanting. Set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. Thou shalt do sign all things. Show us our way that we should go. Keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God. Deliver us from evil, from the prophet, Christian minister, Bible teacher, etc., to the priest, everyone deals falsely. Silence the ignorance of foolish men. Establish our works, and let thy work appear to thy servants, the Gentiles. Haste thee and come. Come thou and reign over us. That's a reading from the Word of the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart. Now, I have been speaking on the subject of the gospel. The gospel, I've said that the gospel, the word gospel, unqualified for us, refers to the work of the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart. And I presented the statement that says, repent ye and believe the gospel. And I'm turning to that statement. Okay, here we go. Mark 1. Verse 15, Mark 1:15, repent ye and believe the gospel. I've answered the question, what is the gospel? And of late, I've been dealing with the investigation. I have told you what these things are, that is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I've told you that they are four investigative reports. All right? Four investigative reports into improprieties and things being done that are unlawful by the children of Israel. The last time I spoke with regard to John and Matthew 1, and Matthew chapter 1. And it was clear that Joseph is on the run, and he ends up in Nazareth. That is given us in Matthew 1, verse 23. And he, Joseph, came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth. Now it goes on to say that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. Now you have statements like this, and like the one in Matthew 1:23, which I spoke on the last time too, I believe. These statements, one thing they do, they teach us that one must be careful. One must be careful with the word of God. We see that some of the statements, like this one that we looked at in Matthew here, chapter 2, verse 23, and I may have said chapter 1, but this is Matthew chapter 2, verse 23, which says, he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets. He shall be called a Nazarene. And that statement is given out of context. And It is a misquote given, taken out of context, and it is a misquote. And it has nothing to do with Joseph or Jesus, as it is set forth in the book of Judges. Let's see here. 23, Judges 13. In Judges 13, verse 5, it says this: For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be called a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Now that statement has to do with Samson. Okay? Why is it here in Matthew 2, verse 23, given as a statement of purpose with regard to Joseph and his raising the son called Jesus? It's incorrect. A misquote and taken out of context. Used inappropriately. As many people do the scriptures today, use them inappropriately, not knowing what they're doing and not knowing what they're talking about. Some people just don't really care. And they deceive the people, and they misguide the people, misteach the people. So, I try to be careful. Of course, from time to time, a mistake will be made, but I try to be careful. And I do have the word here. I have the Bible in front of me here, so I can make sure that I can be as right as I can. Now, so Joseph ends up in Nazareth. Now, I've spoken about the four investigative reports being one report, being regarded as one report, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, four separate, independent reports, but we can regard them as one report, as is done in the question raised in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1, which says, Lord. Now, it addresses me. It says, Lord. No, that's not the statement. Pardon me in that. The statement, Isaiah 53, verse 1, just simply says, Who has believed our report? What is the report? The report is that which is given in the four investigative reports, which are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, who has believed our report is the question asked. What is the report? That's what I'm dealing with now, the report. Now, you have the investigative reports, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that body of works, which led to a trial, which led to conviction, which led to judgments being carried out against the guilty. But what led to the to the investigation? What led to the investigation? The complaints led to the investigation. Complaints coming from who? Complaints coming from the Lord led to the investigative Complaints such as that set down in Jeremiah 8:10, which says, Jeremiah 8:10 says this, for everyone from the least even to the greatest is given to covetousness, from the prophet even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. That's a complaint. Everyone is dealing falsely. And we're speaking about the children of Israel. Another one, Isaiah 9, verse 16. Isaiah 9, 16 and 17. The leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. Everyone is a hypocrite and an evildoer, and every mouth speaketh folly. The statement goes on to say, though, for all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. So we have complaints of hypocriting, evildoing, leaders causing the people to err, false dealings. Another one comes from Jeremiah 9:5. That says, and they will deceive everyone his neighbor and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies and weary themselves to commit iniquity. The next verse goes on to say, thine habitation is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit they refuse to know me, saith the Lord. Another complaint, Hosea 4, verses 10 and 12. Hosea 4, 10 says this, they have left off to take heed to the Lord. They're speaking about the Israelites. They have left off to take heed to the Lord. And verse 12, they have gone a-whoring from under their God. Hosea 5, verse 7. They, the children of Israel, have dealt treacherously against the Lord. These are complaints. Complaints that led to the investigation, that led to a trial, that led to certain conviction, and that led to certain judgments, complaints. Hosea 4:1 says this. There is, okay, hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood touches blood. Psalm 53, verse 3 has something to say. Psalm 53, 3. Every one of them is gone back. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Romans chapter 3 speaks to that. Romans 3 verse 10 says this, As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of ants is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Listen. Now we know that what things soever the law says, it says to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Okay. Now, in the story of the Bible, the story that's in the Bible concerning the Lord, his people, the Israelites are under the law. And we've seen through the reading of these complaints that the Israelites have gone a-whoring from under their God. They have left off to take heed to the Lord, really to the point where they deceive, they do not speak the truth, they've taught their tongues to speak lies. The leaders cause the people to err. Everyone is a hypocrite and an evildoer. They all deal falsely. Things are just bad. They have all become filthy. Things are just bad. Things are just bad. So these complaints led to the investigation. Listen to this, Jeremiah 18:11, starting there. And then you try to get on with the subject at hand. Jeremiah 18:11-17. Listen to this. Now therefore, go to speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. Return ye now everyone from his evil way and make your ways and your doings good. And they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will everyone do the imagination of his evil heart. Now, verse 15 says this, because my people have forgotten me. They have burned incense to vanity, and they have caused them to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths, to walk in paths in a way not cast up, to make their land desolate and a perpetual hissing. Everyone that passes thereby shall be astonished and wag his head. I will scatter them as with an east wind before the enemy. I will show them the back and not the face in the day of their calamity. So, when we get to Matthew, leaving the Old Testament, we get to Matthew, it's time for judgment. So an investigation is done. And here's where we are. Okay. I want to read a couple of more of these. This is from Malachi 2. Malachi 2:11-17. Judah hath dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord which he loved, and hath married the daughter of a strange god. The Lord will cut off the man that doeth this, the bastard and the scholar, out of the tabernacles of Jacob, and him that offereth an offering to the Lord of hosts. Verse 17, it says here, the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away, for everyone covers violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, that ye deal not treacherously. Malachi 3, verses 7 through 9. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from my ordinances, and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Malachi 4, verses 1 through 3. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But to you that fear my name shall a son of righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked. But they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Proverbs chapter 2. That is Proverbs 2, verses 12 and 16. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths. Listen, verse 22. Well, 16. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. And verse 22. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressor shall be rooted out of it. Okay. Now let's turn our attention to Joseph and Mary and Zacharias and Elizabeth. In Matthew 1, verse 18, we see that Mary is found pregnant. Mary is with child. Matthew 1, verse 19, Joseph has a certain inclination. He is inclined or minded to privately put away Mary, his wife, to put her away. We're going to see what that means. We're going to see what Joseph's inclination is. Joseph's inclination is played out in Luke 1:39 through 40. Let's go there. Luke 1:39 through 40. All right. It says this, verse 39, and Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah. That's Joseph's inclination. When it says in Matthew 1, Joseph was minded to put her away privately. Well, this is the plan they came up with, Mary and Joseph, that Mary would go to Elizabeth's house. Elizabeth and Zachariah. Now, I want to ask the question. Let's see if I have it here. I want to ask the question, yes, why does the Luke report begin with events surrounding the birth of John? Why is this relevant? to that of Jesus. Okay? So, why does the Luke report begin with events surrounding the birth of John rather than that of Jesus? Why is this about Elizabeth and Zacharias so important that it precedes the that of Jesus? Why that it precedes information concerning Jesus, that is, why does Mary pay Elizabeth and Zacharias a visit? Those things we will find out. Okay, so Mary is pregnant. Joseph has an inclination. Mary pays Elizabeth and Zacharias a visit. But mind you, this is not a casual, ordinary visit. This is a visit with a plot. Mary arrives at the house of Zacharias and Elizabeth. We see that in Luke 1, 39 through 40. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah. Remember, back in Matthew 1, Joseph was moving with haste. Joseph was fleeing. Joseph escapulated into Egypt and then into Nazareth. Joseph fled. Joseph was on the run. Here we see Mary fleeing, moving with haste, going to a city of Judah. And verse 4, you're going. And Mary entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. Okay. And this is the plan that they came up with, they being Mary and Joseph. And we'll see that Zacharias and Elizabeth were in on the plan also. They were in on this plot also. Listen. So Mary arrives at the house of Zacharias and Elizabeth. Luke 1:36 tells us that Mary and Elizabeth are cousins. Verse 36, Luke 1, and behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age. Listen, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. Now, what I'm doing is just pointing out the main points of the story. We know that Mary is pregnant. She starts out pregnant in Matthew 1. We know that Mary and Joseph came up with a plan for Mary to go see Zacharias and Elizabeth. Mary is pregnant. She goes to see Elizabeth and Zacharias. She arrives at the house. These things are certain. Mary and Elizabeth, as stated, are cousins. Luke 1, verses 5 and 8 tell us that Zacharias' occupation is that of a priest. He's a priest. We ascertain that the child, listen to this carefully, listen to it, that the child in Matthew 1:21, let me say it like this. We ascertain that the child Matthew 1:21 speaks of is the same as the one Luke 1:31 and Luke 1:43 speak of. Did you get that? That those three statements speak of the same child, the same pregnancy. Let's read those three statements. The first one is Matthew 1:21. And she shall, speaking of Mary, she shall bring forth a son, and thou, talking to Joseph, thou shalt call his name Jesus. Okay? Now, Mary shall bring forth a son, and Joseph is to call that child's name Jesus. Now let's see what Luke 1:31 says. Luke 1:31 says this, and this is as told to Mary. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. Get these connections. This is vital. This is very important. Joseph is told that Mary would conceive. Matter of fact, that which is conceived in her already is a son, and Joseph has to call his name Jesus. Mary is told that she will conceive and bring forth a son, and that she is to call his name Jesus. Now, the next statement, Luke 1:43, listen to this carefully. Elizabeth, speaking to Mary, says this, and whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Now, her Lord that she speaks of is the child that Mary is pregnant with. And that child is the one that Mary is to name Jesus, and Joseph is to name Jesus. We're clear on that? We together on that? That those three statements speak of the same child that is to be born, that is to come forth. And so far, we see that his name is to be called Jesus. The same pregnancy, those three statements. Now, moving on. That is a very important point to remember. The baby from this pregnancy is to be named Jesus. Now, the last time we saw Joseph on the run, he had absquatulated to Egypt, and then he fled from Egypt to Nazareth. That was Matthew chapter 2. Now, in Luke 1:39, we see Mary fleeing from Nazareth into the hill country, into a city of Judah. Before continuing with Mary, let's visit Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth in Luke chapter 1. But I just want to put this out there right now. Just this little phrase, if a statement. Mary, Mary. Quite contrary. But before we continue with Mary, we'll visit Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth in Luke chapter 1, because this is very important to the investigator, the king, that they put this first in Luke's body of work. Now, Luke 1:7 says this, and they, Zacharias and Elizabeth, had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. Consider all of this. Luke 1:8-9, Zacharias does temple work. And it came to pass that while he, Zacharias, executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. So Zacharias worked inside the temple of the Lord. His wife is Elizabeth. Elizabeth is barren. They have no children. And they are well stricken in years. Well stricken. Now Zacharias testified these things here. Luke 1:13-15. Zacharias testified that he was told that his wife Elizabeth shall bear him a son, and that he, Zacharias, should call that son's name John. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. Zacharias continued testifying, saying that he said, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And he said that the angel, this is what Zacharias testified to. It doesn't mean that he was telling the truth. He just gave this testimony that the angel appeared to him and told him these things. And the angel answering said to him, I am Gabriel that stands in the presence of God, and am sent to speak to thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Now, it came to pass in verse 23 that as soon as the days of his, Zechariah's ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. As soon as his work was done and time accomplished, he departed to his own house. He didn't mess around. And remember, he says that he was stricken with dumbness. He couldn't speak. That's what he testified after the angel spoke to him. Now, it is here that we come to that which concerns Mary, starting at Luke 1, verse 26. Keep Zacharias and Elizabeth in mind. They are very important to the plot of the story. Now, but let's read this, though. Let's get this in Luke 1, 25. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. Now, in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel, now we have a 5 month written there, given there 5 months. Now, another month. In the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now, Mary testified that the angel of the Lord came to her, or that the angel came to her and saluted her, and she said, the angel said to her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give to him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said, she asked, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Now, when Zacharias asked somewhat the same question, he was stricken with dumbness, you know? So Zacharias testified. Keep that in mind. This is just giving testimony. Doesn't have to be true. So Mary says, how can this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the angel didn't smite her with dumbness or anything. The angel, she said, tells her that the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. That's what Mary testified to. Now, and then Mary says that the angel went on to tell her that in verse 36, her cousin Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. Wonder how old Mary is. But anyway, Mary says that's what the angel told her. Those are the things the angel told her. And so there we have it. We come to verse 39. That's where Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. Now, listen, Elizabeth testified that when she heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. Let's make this clear. The investigating person, the investigator, or investigators, whichever the case may be, got this understanding from Elizabeth that when Mary saluted her, Elizabeth, the babe in Mary's womb leaped into the womb of Elizabeth. That's why the investigator says this right here in verse 41. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And we're going to talk about this statement, filled with the Holy Ghost, because Elizabeth is not the only one that that is said to be filled with the Holy Ghost. We're going to talk about that later. What does that mean? So, and she spake with a loud voice. This is Elizabeth saying, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me? Listen to this statement, that the mother of my Lord should come to me. Okay? Elizabeth is speaking in reference to, with reference to the child that is in Mary's womb. And she calls that child her Lord. She says again, I repeat, whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, Elizabeth says, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Okay, now you see this, leaped in my womb, and the addition of for joy there. But in 41, it just says, when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. Now, we're not going to make a big deal out of that. We're going to keep going, though. Okay? Now, then, I turned my page here. You may not have to turn a page. I turned my page, and in verse 56, Mary abode with Elizabeth about 3 months and returned to her own house. Now, Elizabeth's full of time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And they came out the closet. Remember, Elizabeth has been in hiding. Now, there's a chronology of events. There is a chronology. Listen, why do you think it says, it speaks of Elizabeth going into hiding, and it says 5 months, and then in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel appears to, it says, comes to Nazareth to a virgin named Mary, and Mary abides there with Zacharias and Elizabeth. Let's look at it. This is what is going on. This is the chronology. Mary, okay, Joseph is minded to put Mary away privately. They come up with a plan, you know, to send Mary to Elizabeth and Zacharias' house. Now, this is the chronology. Mary is pregnant, one. Two, she and Joseph commune with Elizabeth and Zacharias. Three, Mary and Elizabeth are reputed cousins. Four, Zacharias works in the temple. Five, about 5 months, listen carefully to this, pay attention, about 5 months into Mary's pregnancy, Elizabeth goes into hiding. Six, about the last 3 months of Mary's pregnancy, she, Mary, is with Elizabeth and Zacharias. Listen, 7, Mary stays with Elizabeth and Zacharias till she brings forth her firstborn, which is a son. 8, Mary believes her firstborn, Mary leaves her firstborn with cousin Elizabeth and Zacharias, her husband. And Mary returns to Nazareth alone. That's what the report tells us. I will go through that chronology again. Mary is pregnant. She and Joseph commune with Elizabeth and Zacharias. Remember, Joseph was minded for to do. She and Joseph commune with Elizabeth and Zacharias. Mary and Elizabeth are reputed cousins. Zacharias works in the temple. About 5 months into Mary's pregnancy, Elizabeth goes into hiding. Why? Because, well, let me just finish the chronology and then I'll talk about it. About 5 months into Mary's pregnancy, Elizabeth goes into hiding. About the last 3 months of Mary's pregnancy, she, Mary, is with Elizabeth and Zacharias. 7, Mary stays with Elizabeth and Zacharias till she brings forth, until Mary brings forth her firstborn son. And 8, Mary leaves her firstborn son with her cousin Elizabeth and her husband Zacharias, and Mary returns to Nazareth alone. Okay, here's what the report points out and points out that this is a plot. Mary and Joseph and Elizabeth and Zacharias have conspired to conceal and cover up the fact of the birth of her, Mary's, firstborn. Joseph and Mary and Elizabeth and Zacharias have conspired to conceal and cover up the fact of the birth of Mary's firstborn child. Why does Elizabeth go into hiding about 5 months into Mary's pregnancy? That's why that time thing is given there, and it speaks about 5 months, and then in the 6 month, and then 3 months. Yeah, those numbers up, they come up to 9, okay? And, you know, they say a woman carries a baby, you know, approximately 9 months, okay? Course of a pregnancy, 9 months. Now, Elizabeth goes into hiding because she's not pregnant. You know, they have come up with this scheme, this plot, to fool people that Elizabeth is pregnant. They come up with this plot, this lie, that Elizabeth is pregnant. So when about the time she should start showing, you know, if she is actually pregnant, Elizabeth goes into hiding because she is not pregnant. You know, she's not pregnant. They have made plans to take Mary's firstborn. That's what is going on here. This is what the report is showing. Elizabeth is not pregnant. She's pretending to be pregnant. And she will make it seem like to those around her, her friends and all like that, that she actually had a baby. When she did not have a baby, Mary had the baby. And Mary gave her firstborn to Elizabeth and Zacharias. And Mary left her firstborn there with Elizabeth and Zacharias. Oh, and by the way, now we read statements that were saying that that pregnancy, the child of that pregnancy, was to be named Jesus. But we found out that the child was not named Jesus. The child was named John. Are you following? Are you paying close attention? Take heed that you be not deceived. It was all a plot, a conspiracy to hide the truth. What is the truth? Mary's firstborn child is not Jesus. According to the report, who has believed our report? According to the report, this child, who they named John, that is, Zacharias and Elizabeth named John, is actually Mary's firstborn. Elizabeth did not have a baby. Elizabeth was given a baby. Elizabeth was given Mary's baby. Got that? That's why we have the chronology there. That's why Luke gives a chronology. And that's the reason Mary went to visit Elizabeth and Zacharias. So now we see why Zacharias and Elizabeth are spoken of here first in Luke chapter 1. That's why they're here. That's why we have this story of them, Elizabeth and Zacharias, because they received Mary's firstborn child. Yes, they pretended that they were having a baby or were to have a baby. That's pretense. And, Zacharias worked in the temple. He probably had access to records, birth records and all like that, records that the government keeps on people. Well, one thing for sure, we do know. We find out why Mary went to visit Elizabeth and Zacharias. And we found out that Elizabeth did not have a child that she birthed into the world herself. We found out that Mary gave birth to her firstborn while she was yet at Elizabeth and Zacharias' house. And we find out that Mary gave Elizabeth and Zacharias a firstborn child. Mary left her firstborn child with Elizabeth and Zacharias. The truth of the matter. What is truth? Jesus, then, is not Mary's firstborn. Neither is he Mary's firstborn son. Jesus is neither a firstborn nor a firstborn son of Mary. So after those things, and we're going to cut it off here. We covered a lot of ground. We answered some basic questions. We got some understanding of the child that Elizabeth and Zacharias were to have, and we got understanding on that. We got understanding on the reason for Mary's visit to Elizabeth and Zacharias, and we got understanding clear sound understanding of the baby being given to Elizabeth and Zacharias and Mary's firstborn being left with Elizabeth and Zacharias. That's the report. That's part of the report, people. Who has believed the report? Have you believed the report? Do you believe the report I just given you? The report has come from the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart. We try to pick up from here the next time. Join me then.